I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, a good morning to you. It is a Saturday here at KNSS, and the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show is on the air at 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Tony Dusing. Our lawn and garden expert is Jason French from Stutzman's Greenhouse. He will take your lawn and garden questions. Just call us anytime. The area code is 316, the number 869-1330. That's 869-1330. With Jason French. Hello, Jason. Happy Saturday. Tell me what's going on this weekend at Stutzman's.
Hey, good morning, Tony. It is a nice morning and a lot of things going on at all of our locations. It's a beautiful day to stop out, and you know, we're glad to help with whatever types of things we can, whether you're looking for some color to get you through the rest of the season, or maybe a lot of these new fall plants starting to roll in, mums and asters and things, and we could start thinking about some of that and talking about some of that. And, you know, of course, the great produce is still available, the peaches, watermelons, and cantaloupe. So a lot going on at Stutzman's Greenhouse. We got a lot of different things we can talk about on the show today, but of course, like you said, any calls are welcome. We can direct this show in any way the listener wants.
Exactly. Yeah. 869-1330 is the number. 316 is the area code. 869-1330. Give us a call. I did see a question on Facebook, social media from, let's see here. It looks like it's Linda. And she asked, and this is a question I would have too, because I get the same thing, is why is the foliage of my perennials wilting even though I'm watering a lot? And what's going on?
A couple of different things to look at. One thing that can happen, and not as common, but it does happen, if we get that soil, or if we have a lot of rain and we get that soil particularly moist, we don't have as much air pockets and things in that soil, and it kind of can smother them a little bit till they dry out. You can see some droopiness from that. But one of the other things we see a lot of times, and sometimes with perennials, sometimes we see it really a lot in the cucumbers and squashes. They're probably one of the easiest to see that. But sometimes, even with proper watering, the soil's how it's supposed to be and all, when it's really, really hot and really intense sun, sometimes those plant leaves droop a little bit just to reduce the amount of surface area that sun is hitting and heating up. So it almost is a protection a little bit as well. So just because if you're looking when it's hot and something looks a little droopy, use the best water meter we have, your finger, and poke down in that soil or under that mulch a little bit and see if it's actually dry or not, whether it needs water or, you know, if we're just seeing a little bit of that heat response. So there's some various things that can cause that. And, you know, sometimes it's something we need to do something about. It's dry. Other times, you know, it's a reaction to either too much moisture or the heat. So do have to do a little bit of investigating to see why. It doesn't necessarily, everybody always thinks wilty droopy always means there's not enough water there, but not in every case.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, interesting. Now I do have a question about seasonal tasks, things that I should perform, and I'm looking at the garden. What should I do to help keep my garden healthy throughout the year? Maybe like this time of the year too.
You know, this time of the year, if you've got any plants that have finished, or, you know, there's no new fruits, vegetables coming on them, we want to go ahead and pull those up. Tomatoes, if they're done, we do want to throw those clear away. But other things could be composted to use, you know, to enrich your soil later. But getting that stuff that's not productive out of there will, you know, reduce water use, reduce nutrient use on the soil. You know, it's You'll have less things to attract pests. So any of that non-productive stuff, we want to get out of there. It's also a good time to make sure, you know, that our mulch is covering and we're keeping the weeds and things down this time of year. And then, you know, you need to think about also, are we doing anything for fall with our garden? And, you know, if we are, we may want to get some of that soil loosened back up, maybe apply some fresh vegetable fertilizer to that area so that we can, you know, seed in some of the different lettuce and greens and radishes, things like that. You know, if you are getting mostly done with your garden, you could even do a soil test this time of year and, you know, take some soil from a couple inches down in several different spots to get you a good average of what your soil's like, and take that down to the extension office. They'll send it up to K-State and you can get your results. And the reason I say sometimes late summer, fall is a good time to do that is mostly because of the pH of our soil, how acidic it is. Well, the water we use to water with is kind of alkaline, and our soils are kind of alkaline. So if we need to acidify our soil for next season and get things going, some of those products like sulfur is a really great product for that, but it takes a long time to break down and start working. So a lot of times we'd want to apply it, you know, in the fall, even, you know, during the winter. That way by springtime it's begun to break down and do its thing for us. So are some things with the vegetable garden as far as cleanup and prep that we can start doing this time of year.
Yeah, very good stuff there. This is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS with our lawn and garden expert from Stutzman's Greenhouses, Jason French. We're taking your lawn and garden questions at 869-1330, 869-1330. Jason, I did want to ask you about, you know, some of the plants that we buy at Stutzman's, we all take home, and we may plant them outside. And what are some of the best practices for planting and spacing different types of plants? Is there kind of a rule there?
You know, there is a little bit. It kind of depends on, you know, what kind of look we are and what kind of plant we are. Now, if we're planting a, you know, a perennial item, you know, something that's going to die back and come back each year, you know, we want to realize that it's going to take probably 2 to 3 years before it's coming back at its full mature size. So, you know, we need to be sure and leave a little room for it to grow and fill out. Probably even more so some of our shrubs, trees, things like that, you know, it's going to be several years before we get to our size. So do always either read the tag or look up a little information about the plant. That's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see with those plants that come back year to year. When we get them, they're small and juvenile, and so we tend to put them too close together, not realizing how big they're going to get. Now, on the flip side of that, our annuals, you know, they're going to do everything that they're going to do this year. They're going to die when winter comes. So, you know, you still don't want them so close that they're crowding and choking each other out. But a lot of times we want more of that big burst of color, that big mass of color. So we tend to plant them a little bit closer together so that when they grow out, they are kind of touching each other and really filling and covering that area, and that gives you a much better show, but it also helps shade that soil and keep the weeds and things out kind of naturally by being full like that. So do take a look at, you know, whether I'm planting annual things or perennial things, and do kind of take a look at the full size of it. I mean, if it's going to be 4 to 5 foot wide, you know, you're probably going to want 4 to 5 feet before, you know, you plant the next one, so that, you know, each one could grow halfway on each side and kind of fill out. You know, in hedges, you know, you might go a little bit closer, you know, to that 4 foot, 3.5 feet, because we do want them to touch. Other items, we like them to be individuals and see each one and have it grow its natural shape and needs that more proper spacing to it.
Yeah, exactly. This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. You know, we do have on the website with Stutzman's.com, Stutzman's.com, Stutzman's.com. You can see the garden club. You can join that there. And of course, one of the benefits, of course, is getting the monthly newsletter, the garden club newsletter. I did see this month, Jason, on the newsletter is a August checklist. I always like to kind of look at those. And one of the things it talked about was, well, for your lawn, that this month should be the last application of fertilizer for the year for warm season lawns. Tell me about that. Describe what's going on there.
Yeah, and very good lawn grass for Kansas, probably not as common as we usually see. Most lawns are going to be the cool season grasses, the fescue or the fescue bluegrass mix. They tend to be greener in the spring and greener in the fall and the winter. Warm season grasses, very green during late spring, summer, early fall, but then as soon as the days get shorter and we get cooler, they go dormant. So they're going to be brown. You know, Bermuda is a type of that. Zoysia is a type of that. To a certain extent, I would treat buffalo grass kind of like that also. This would be, you know, we're still plenty warm right now. The days are plenty warm right now. We're getting a little bit of occasional rain. So we could still do a fertilizing now on those types of grass. They like the warmer, sunnier times, but we want them to use that and be finished with it by the time the season starts cooling off and the days get shorter. It's kind of the opposite of our cool season grasses. We're going to start fertilizing those, you know, depending on our plan and what we're doing this fall, but usually a fall treatment, you know, September, beginning of October, and then we do a winterizer late October, November, and that gives them good color through the fall and good growth, and they recover from the heat in those cool seasons. So they're a little bit different, but if you do have those warm season grasses, yeah, we do want to do any fertilizing needed to keep them nice and green this month yet.
Yeah, exactly. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It's the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. Heard every Saturday morning here at 10 a.m. I did want to ask about, you know, we're not done planting like vegetables. There are, I guess, fall vegetables that you can, some cabbage plants, things like that, that you can plant. Tell me about that. You know, we still want to plant stuff. What can we do now, Jason?
You know, and that's a good point. I actually, you know, had a little couple things where I was going to mention today if they didn't come up. And that's one of the things that I was talking about. I briefly, when we were talking about gardens, touched on that. And, you know, I think a lot more people are familiar with that. And you start from seed now at this point, and it would be, you know, your lettuces, your spinaches, your radish, things like that. Cabbage, broccoli, some of those may be a little late to start from seed. You might be able to find some plants not as quite as common in the fall as in spring. But one of the things I wanted to bring up, though, was some of our containers that we've had all through the season may not be looking their best, be looking a little tired, or, you know, with some of the water concerns on ornamental things, they may be a little past their prime. Well, those containers are really great to grow some of these fall vegetables in, and some of them are fairly pretty and ornamental. I like some of the lettuce mixes that have all the different colors of greens and reds and speckled lettuce and things like that. Very easy to seed into one of your containers, you know, pull the other stuff out and grow really easily. And leaf lettuce are the best. They don't make a head like you think of, you know, that traditional iceberg lettuce head. They're loose leaf, so as the leaves get big enough, you go out and tear them off, and the plant continues to grow, and, you know, so you can harvest multiple times off of them. But they are really great in a container like that, and you can do radish in a container as well. Do very well in a container, actually, and as we're getting cooler, there'll be a nice, crisp, mild radish as well. But, you know, in the containers, if you're in that Wichita water restriction area, you know, food production doesn't count. So, you know, you can put some of these lettuce and kales and radishes and spinach and things like that in containers, and it's perfectly okay to tend to them with the water they need, even with our restrictions. Food is exempt from that, so kind of a nice way to get you some fresh greens and food yet this season out of some of those pots that might be looking a little tired and a little worn out. So, you know, something else to think about for fall. You get some color as well as some salad.
All right. Our Stutzman's Home and Garden Show is on the air. A lawn and garden expert we're listening to is Jason French from Stutzman's Greenhouse. We'll take your lawn and garden questions if you have any at 869-1330. That's 869-1330. Every Saturday morning, we're here live on the air. I wanted to ask you, Jason, I did go over, you mentioned earlier about the Sedgwick County Extension Office, and there it's pretty cool. I had gone over there a few weeks back, and I saw they had an area for roses that they grow, roses, rose bushes, and one of the experts there said, yeah, you know, you got to take care of them, you got to prune them back, and you got a deadhead, and all. I'm like, what, really? I just plant a rose bush and just leave it alone. So I understand you have to do some work with it. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, no, and it depends what type of rose we're talking about as well, but roses are one of those shrubs that will continue to produce flowers throughout the season, where most of our other shrubs just have a period of bloom. But depending on what type you have, require more or less effort. But you know, if you like that classic, they're called the tea roses, the long stem, the large single blossom, you know, those, as each flower gets done, you want to follow it down the stem and clip it out, and it's called deadheading it, and that stem then will put out a new shoot and have another bloom on it. And generally, you know, our roses, we want to feed them regularly, at least through the rest of this month, and that way we can get a nice fall bloom. But some, a lot more common anymore are more of the shrub type roses, and they're more bushy and they have lots of flowers covering, you know, the whole plant. And those, we don't go through and clip each flower off, but when they've had a big flush of bloom and there's a lot of either old blooms, or it's called the rose hip, the little pod kind of that it makes on the end. Those kinds, the shrubs, we just go through, and you don't have to trim off very much, you know, a couple inches just gets all of those old blooms, all of those rose hips off, and then they flush out with new growth, and we'll have another flush of blooms like that. And, you know, you can do that several times through the season to really keep them going nicely. And, if you haven't done that lately, that nice gentle pruning on those this time of year will really encourage a nice fall bloom yet this season also on them. So, you know, it depends. Some people love roses, want to collect them and have a rose garden and do all the things with those tea roses, the spraying and clipping, and, you know, it's very rewarding, big flowers. Other people, you know, I'd like a shrub in my landscape that blooms a lot of times. There's ones for that as well, and, you know, two or three times a year you might have to go out and just give it a little haircut and it'll come back into bloom. So, you know, depending on what we're actually wanting from the plant, there's, you know, various levels of rose growers.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice. Roses are really cool. And of course, yeah, like you said, there's many varieties and lots of colorful of flowers. I did want to ask you about, you know, Stutzman's Greenhouse. And of course, you guys are really big this year of selling some. What I want to ask you, what type of plants, I said this year, I meant this week, what kind of plants are really popular right now if I come by Stutzman's?
Right now, you know, a lot of, if you're still looking for the bright color, we have usually some pretty good deals on some of those summer plants that like the heat. They're going to bloom, you know, into fall yet. But what's really starting to roll into the stores, and we're seeing a lot of those sales beginning, are going to be some of our fall crops. Now, asters are usually about the first one to come into bloom, and they're grown very similar to a mum. They're going to be about the same size. If you were to plant them, they're, you know, a perennial. They're going to need the same kind of sun. We'd still want to trim them in July like we do our mums, but they have colors that you don't see in mums, and they have more like that K-State purple and more of that solid pastel almost purple colors, and there are some pink ones where, like in a mum, when you get purple, generally they're more like a wine, that deep rich color. They're not that brighter, lighter colors. So the asters, great choice right now in the stores, and like I said, those usually are just beginning to bloom now, usually really come into bloom about the first part of September, so week or 10 days before the mums really are blooming. Do have a lot of the starter mums, we call them, and that's a 5.5-inch size pot, so not teeny, but not great big. But those plants are best if you're wanting to plant in the ground. You can plant them in now while they're green and let them grow in place, and they'll kind of get rooted in, established, and they'll come on with their blooms just like normal this fall. But they've had that time to root in and get established, so you have a lot better likelihood that they get established enough and survive winter and are best used, you know, if we're wanting to plant some perennial ones. Now, I wouldn't say don't plant your big 9-inch mum late in the season. A lot of people like to let them bloom and then plant them, and a lot of times they make it. They are all the hardy garden mum, but sometimes they just don't have enough time to get established with that late planting. So we have the starter ones in now. A couple other crops coming along. You talked a little bit about our website and Facebook page. If you're on our Facebook page, we've got a little video. We were planting the third group of pansies this week and have a little video about that being planted with our transplanter. And that's another fall plant. We'll have it'll be a few weeks yet till the first ones are ready. But I really like pansies, too, because we can plant them in the fall, enjoy the colors. Most of the time, they survive through the winter, and then early in the spring when it's still cold and frosty and we can't be planting our other things, they really take off and start blooming again. They're just not the greatest plant when we get really, really hot. So that's when you're planting some of these summer things. But a lot of great things rolling in. Of course, hardy hibiscus, coneflower, some of those other fall perennials are available also. So a lot of great things to check out this time of year. It's kind of a blend of summer, late summer, early fall, and what's available.
Yeah, it is exciting to get out to Stutzman's and check out what they have there. I did want to ask you, Jason, about fertilizers mainly in containers and baskets. Is it worth it to use those, controlled release fertilizers? You know what I'm talking about? Is that or what do you feel is best?
Those work okay. I use some of those as well. A lot of times when I'm planting, and see, that's the thing, is you kind of have to put them in when you're planting to kind of get them through that root zone. But a lot of times I do use some of those. We carry one by Carl Poole. It's a balanced. It's a 13-13-13. But I will mix some of that in there, and that gives me a nice base amount of fertility for, several months. But when we have big rains, you tend to flush through the pot, fertilizer levels go down. If it's really, really hot and we're watering a lot extra, we do need to do a little bit extra. And so that's where, like, the dissolve in water, the blue kinds, the Stutzman's All Purpose or a Miracle-Gro, something like that. I do supplement, even when I use some of those slow releases, I do use that occasionally in some of those pots as well. The liquid fertilizers, especially for annuals, they just give that instant boost each time they're applied. That really keeps things really in bloom. But it is nice to have that little base level in there so that maybe I forgot this week or, little time's gone by. I'm not starving them. They have some. And I do think they do very well doing their job. Just sometimes we have to supplement a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I did want to ask about the locations around Wichita, Derby area. Tell me where you guys are at, Jason.
Yeah. Wichita area. We would be 13th and Tyler is our west side location. And then as you travel east, we would be on Rock Road, just north of 96. There's kind of a Sam's Club right there. We're in that lot. A little bit farther east, Cambridge Marketplace, 21st and Webb. That's a nice location there at Cambridge Market. And then down in Derby as well, we have a new, well, somewhat new, permanent location, and it's, I believe, right there on Meadowlark.
Yeah, exactly. So, in Derby. I always go to the one over by that Sam's Club, that one on North Rock Road, 37th and Rock. I'm always in that area doing, there's a lot of different stores and shops there, and you guys are right there conveniently located in the parking lot there. So, Jason, thanks a lot. Of course, people can get a hold of you on the email real quick. It's questions@stutzmans.com. That's questions with an S at stutzmans.com. If you send an email there, Jason will answer back, and you can send photos. It's really cool. Great service they have there with Stutzman's. And we do appreciate you listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And we'll see you again next week.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.